This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We have got top five, bottom five coming up. We just completed another weekend of NFL action, week 13. So we've got the best and the worst teams as they stand right now. The Heisman Trophy candidates were announced. We talked to Pete Futek earlier. It's LSU's Jane Daniels, Oregon's Bo Nix, Washington's Michael Penix Jr., and wide receiver Maserati Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State. The only non-quarterback amongst the group. Oh, my God. Maserati Marv. I asked this question. I haven't gotten an answer to this. Is that a term he used? Did we look this up? Maserati Marv. Was that Gus Johnson's nickname, or is that a nickname he glossed himself?
That's a great question. I have no idea.
I don't know. Maserati Marv. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But before I do, just a reminder that the holidays are now fast approaching. If you're still looking for an amazing gifts at Total Wine & More, I found the best gifts for everyone on my list, including a single barrel of bourbon that my dad will love. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. All right, so how is this thing going to play out? LSU's Jane Daniels, Oregon's Bo Nix, Washington's Michael Penix Jr., and Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State, the wide receiver. Well, as I said last week, this is a voting system that uses regions, and how you vote for the Heisman is you vote for three people, your first, your second, and your third. And that matters because you get points for where you get voted. So in order to handicap this, we have to look at the players and say, who's going to be on everybody's ballot? Who's going to be the somebody who, if you are voting for the Heisman in Boston, who is somebody that you are going to put on the ballot, even if you live nowhere near that player or that school, and you don't watch them enough, but you just kind of know that they're having very, very good seasons? Well, these aren't finalists because they were chosen by a committee, no pun intended. And then those are the votes that people have to vote on. You've got votes for Jalen Milroe. You've got votes for, Jordan Travis, maybe, even though he broke his leg. Somebody might go, I don't care. I put him. I like him. You'll have votes for players all around the country. Carson Beck is going to get some votes. Brock Bowers is going to get some votes, right? Quinn Ewers is going to get votes. I'm trying to look thing around the country of different people. J.J. McCarthy got votes, right? So these were the top four, and these are the ones that are going to get invited to New York. So you have to then take a clue as to, from these four, who do you think got the most votes or at least names on ballots for most people? Now, it's easy to look at Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. and say, well, they could split the West vote. But if you are somebody in Florida and you're voting, which one would you likely put on the ballot? Well, if you made your vote after Friday night, then you might put Michael Penix Jr. there. But Washington was good during the regular season, but they weren't impressively good, blowing everybody out. But Bo Nix was. He completed 77% of his passes. Oregon was right there on Friday night, right there, knocking on the door of the playoff committee, going, hey, don't forget about us. What about Jane Daniels? He was fantastic. Statistically, one of the best seasons a quarterback has ever had. 3,800 yards passing, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. Okay. But the reality is that LSU went 9-3. Okay, but you know what? Sometimes the Heisman Trophy winner doesn't play on national championship level teams. In fact, some of them just, they don't play on winning teams at all. I think when Tebow won the Heisman, I think the Gators were 7-5. They weren't the Tebow of winning the national title against Oklahoma. Again, sometimes they are. Sometimes they are right, playing for the national championship, or at least giving a shot at playing for the national championship. You think about, Jalen Hurts winning the Heisman Trophy. You think about Devontae Smith winning the Heisman Trophy. You can think of Mark Ingram at Alabama winning the Heisman Trophy. So does that hurt Jaden Daniels' resume that the team went 9-3 and weren't really in the conversation at all? I don't know. Marvin Harrison Jr., what a season he had. Is the hint that a non-quarterback is in this group, is that a hint that the voters have made a point to put a non-quarterback on the ballot? Think about that for a second. If you've got a player that's a non-quarterback, and these things tend to go to quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs, but if you had a year where everyone was buzzing about quarterbacks, oh, look at J.J. McCarthy, oh, look at Quinn Ewers, oh, look at Jaden Daniels, look at Michael Penix Jr., look at Bo Nix, oh, look at... If the world is buzzing about quarterbacks, and yet Marvin Harrison Jr. had a great season and was and getting some love, he got enough love to be in the top four. Does that mean he got enough love from everybody who either loved what he did or loved what he did, and they kind of want to make a statement of not putting a quarterback on the ballot? Is that enough to over the? I really don't know how to handicap this. If I had a vote, my vote, and I don't. I think it's one of the biggest travesties of the Heisman Trophy, though, that I, who love this award so much, have never been invited to have a vote in this. And you know what's worse, Ron? I know people who have votes for this, and they don't deserve them. They are NFL guys who've covered college football a couple of times, but you get it, like, you get it forever. So, you know.
And it's a status symbol. So, you know, you're not going to get rid of it, right? No. How many Twitter bios have you seen? It's like Heisman voter.
Oh, well, listen, I'm going to tell you, they're probably blessed that I don't have a Heisman vote. Because if I had a Heisman vote, I would introduce myself as a Heisman voter to everywhere I went. I'll be in the waiting room at a doctor's office and they'll go, Tony, Deseret, Heisman voter, Tony, if you wouldn't mind. I appreciate that. Heisman voter. Yeah, that's me. You could just put Heisman voter in front of that.
No, I mean, some people would add Esquire to the last part.
I'm cool with that.
You're going to go, but no, you'll say Tony Desiri Heisman.
I would look at it to drop in any conversation that I would have in various things. Like a friend of mine might go, man, how would you like to be a judge on Chopped? That must be wild to taste all that different food. I know, very similar, like when I have a Heisman vote and I have to decide between quarterback for Utah and a quarterback for Florida State. It's very difficult. It's like tasting different things. Not really. Well, anyway, just wanted to throw my Heisman vote in there. I would literally be that guy. So they're probably lucky I don't have one.
Or, you know, you do it this way too. Congrats on the new kid. I'll vote for him someday for the Heisman. I have
maybe
that vote.
One day he'll play college football and I can vote for him for the Heisman as I do right now.
I have that vote.
As I do every year. That would be me. That would be me. So they're probably glad I don't. But if I had a vote, you know who I would pick? Bo Nix. That's who I would vote. I would vote Bo Nix.
Yeah, I'm still a Penix Jr. guy.
I like Bo Nix's season better than Penix Jr., even though Penix Jr. won twice against Bo Nix and beat him in the game that really, really mattered.
I mean, let's be real. Does Marvin Harrison Jr. really have a chance at all?
Well, I threw a scenario that said maybe he's on enough ballots in second and third that gives him enough points. No, in the end, this is going to a quarterback.
Yeah. This like is it always does.
Yeah. Okay, so I would vote Bo Nix, but I think on when this is awarded on Saturday, it'll be Michael Penix Jr. that wins it. I think they're giving it to him.
Do you? Because, I mean,
What's the betting favorite?
The betting favorite, I believe, is Jaden Daniels.
See, I think so, but I can't.
Because he's the only one who passed for over 3,000 yards or ran for over 1,000 yards. Like, he has the stats to back it up.
His numbers are crazy. They're better than any quarterback ever. I keep going back. In a season that has been dominated by good college football teams in the LSU was not in that conversation. Like LSU they lost early to Florida State. They found a little footing, but then they lost again. I forgot who they lost to in the SEC. It was Ole Miss that they lost to. It was like week six or week five. And then they were two losses as really quickly before we really got the calendar going. And then in the big game against Alabama that everybody said, okay, this is the big game against Alabama, they lost that one too. So they beat everyone they were supposed to beat, but they lost to the teams that would have made their season. But you might be right. This this elevation of statistics, his statistical elevation. I mean, we're talking 3,800 yards and 40 touchdowns passing, 1,100 rushing yards and 10 rushing touchdowns. Like, that's really good for a running back. For a running back, that's a decent season. For a running quarterback compared to 40 touchdowns, that's 50 combined touchdowns and close to 5,000 yards of offense, rushing and passing. Those are through the roof numbers.
I mean, he literally is a one-man show. Does he have more offensive yards than Iowa?
Yeah, right. They were the number one scoring team in the country, so maybe that's the case. I don't know. So do we want a guy that led a team to 13-0 and a conference championship, or do we want a guy that really had amazing numbers but failed to win the games that they needed to win the most? They needed to win against Florida State. They needed to beat Ole Miss. They needed to beat Alabama. They failed to do those three things. I don't know. I would vote for Bo Nix because I think 40 touchdowns and three interceptions. I don't want to fault one quarterback over another because he doesn't run the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't want to say, I can't compare Bo Nix to Jaden Daniels because the option of Bo Nix running all over the place, although he does, is not quite the same. I mean, he's got three rushing touchdowns this year.
Just real quick, Jaden Daniels does have more offensive yards than the entire school of Iowa.
Well done. Well,
Iowa only has 3,100 yards of total offense.
And yet, many on the panel picked them to beat Michigan on ESPN.
They get paid the big mighty, bucks to do that,
have
Tony.
The mighty have really fallen.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is time for Top 5, Bottom 5. 13 weeks in the NFL are in the books. So this is where we do the best of the best. Ron made a joke that maybe we should do top 6.
I skip one.
I can buy that. Let's skip the top one and let's do that. I get it. We start from 5 all the way up. But you're right. I mean, this one probably is.
We're going to talk about four teams.
Yeah, we're going to basically talk about four teams while we leave the other one sitting on the throne.
Should I say, four teams are a mystery?
That's right. All right, we're going to start. I'm going to go at number 5, and I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens at 9-3. I like the Ravens. I'm keeping them in my top 5. I've shuffled it up a little bit. No fault to the Ravens. They were kind of on a bye and resting up a little bit. They didn't do anything to up themselves, but they did enough that other teams I want to buzz about. This is the same thing we talked about last week. Their defense is really good. Lamar Jackson is great. They win the games they're supposed to win. They have a couple of hiccups, but they're not terrible hiccups. They're not hiccups that make you go, golly, yikes. They'll start it up again in week 14 this weekend against the Rams. 9-3 on top of the division that's kind of falling back a little bit, a little aways from them. So Baltimore, for me, to start things off at number 5.
Number 5 for me, I've had them out of the top 5, had them out of the top 5 last week at least, and they're now having back in, and that is the Miami Dolphins. Just really, really impressed with how they played this past weekend again. I mean, it was a Tua Tyreek show.
This was the game I was watching. I was having lunch with my parents in Florida. We were watching this. They just really put on an amazing show. That's why I'm bringing Miami up, because I have them at 4.
Yeah. It was. I don't know what else we can say about the Dolphins anymore that hasn't already been said. I mean, I don't think they're quiet good anymore. I think they're loud good. I think we know what we're expecting when we see them. There were times during the season where I think we just completely forgot about them and stopped talking about them. Because there's other teams in their own division that are worth talking about more so than them.
Yeah, and it's what's funny now is they're emerging as the top AFC team, right? I mean, like with Kansas City losing and Jacksonville losing, now you're starting to laser focus in, okay, of the four division winners, who's actually on top of this thing? And right now they're playing the best of the division winners, or at least they played better than the other three, because one of them had the weekend off and the other two lost. And now you're starting to really see Miami come to fruition.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've been hesitant to put them as high up. I don't. They really.
Oh, it's because we have, and then they go and they have a stinker.
Yeah, that's the thing is that they build up momentum and then they lose to the Eagles badly. They lose.
Yeah.
Again, that game against in Germany was weird because they were trailing 21-0 and then they couldn't get back into a game in which they shut out the Chiefs in the second half. But like they were rolling along, beat Denver 70-20, and then they lost to Buffalo the next week. So they've been one of those teams where play really well. But I give other teams breaks for that, and I don't know why I never really gave Miami that. So Miami, to me, is number four.
Well, number four for me, I did drop them down a spot, which is maybe unfair because they weren't a bye, and that's the Ravens.
Ravens, okay.
So Ravens I have at four as well. Division is theirs, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's really nobody can play enough to catch them.
If the Ravens lose this division, if they don't win the AFC North, it will go down as the worst thing that the NFL has ever had.
It's
you now have potentially three backup quarterbacks going the rest of the way.
Not that long ago, and I know we were all kind of, it's easy to make things in the beginning of the season when things look a certain way and you know they're going to change. But there was a period of time where they're like, hey, the AFC North could have all four teams in the playoffs. Now it doesn't look like any of them will make the playoffs.
Except for one.
Yeah, and that's one. That's the division winner. But the other three are not going there. Like, they may not go there. I mean, we'll see what the Bengals can do with a 6-6 record and a quarterback that seems confident enough to win games.
Yeah, give it a chance.
But the Browns and the Steelers have got some work to do. The Steelers, they may not even win Thursday night against the Patriots.
Believe it, Trubisky.
I don't believe in anybody. That team stinks. They're terrible. I don't view this team with rose-colored glasses. They're terrible.
But
they
feel bad because the Ravens were on a bye. They didn't do anything to deserve this. Just like what you said, they didn't do anything. But they'll probably be climbing the charts again soon.
All right, number three for me is the Philadelphia Eagles. This was terrible. This was a terrible loss. It was a terrible loss at home. I'm wondering how hurt Jalen Hurts is. I mean, is he nursing something? Is he working through something?
He's fine.
Serious?
Just rub some dirt on it, Jalen.
But I'm not. I would normally drop a team this far when they were that exposed. Look, people have been kind of wondering about the Eagles. How eagle-ish do they look, right? Like, does this look like a team? Even though at the time of going into this game against San Francisco and they were 10-1, do they look like a complete team that may have an issue or two here or there, but not that big of a deal? And when they had games in which they were playing tight against Washington and playing tight against Dallas and playing tight against Kansas City and playing tight against Buffalo, the people were legitimately questioning them. And then it got completely blown up in the game on Sunday, where they lost 42-19. And I'm not one that's going to think that this is all smoke and mirrors. This is still an outstanding football team that had a bad week, but they had a bad week at the wrong time. And that was the wrong game to have a bad week. If you cough one up to Washington by accident, we can forgive that as a division. But in the regular season, we're trying to gauge you on how well you are against the elite teams. And that was an elite team they faced. And this did not work out. So Philadelphia gets punished going from 1 to 3 for me, but I'm keeping them in the top three.
I couldn't do it. I didn't pull that trigger. So instead, number three for me is the Cowboys.
Cowboys.
And the only reason why is just because of this. Head to head, Eagles beat the Cowboys. Now they'll play again.
They play again this weekend.
They play again this weekend. And so, now we'll know for certain. We'll figure out who, because I think this could be for the division lead, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be for the division
lead. The winner of this could...
They'll be tied. I think the NFC tiebreaker works in there. No, the NFC tiebreaker wouldn't work. What would... Divisional record would work?
Maybe it's divisional record. I don't know. Maybe the edge goes to the Cowboys. I'm not sure. Yeah. It'll be fascinating to find out. But this is not the position the Eagles want to be in.
That's
the
your
Cowboys,
Sunday night game, yeah.
Cowboys are surging, and I know you probably have them at two.
I do. I have the Cowboys at
and
two.
For me, at two, I have the Eagles. So, it's like one and the same.
I had the Cowboys at two. I think they're playing better than the Eagles right now, but I agree with you. The head-to-head matchup. But, again,
that's the only reason why I gave this knock. It's going to change quickly. I agree with you. The Eagles played terrible. They were exposed in so many different ways. And I've been saying all season long about the Eagles, too. It's hard to put them at number one. I kept putting them at number one because of the one loss, because they just kept finding ways to win. But this is the first time where it bit them in the rear, that it was like, you know what? You let these teams stay close, or you let these teams gain points on you. You just couldn't come back against that juggernaut.
When they lost to Philadelphia back in early November, They had the Giants, Carolina, and Washington with Seattle. But I'm just going to look at those three games. Giants stink. Carolina's the worst team in the NFL, and Washington's no good either. But what I would ask of you is to blow them all out. And they blew all of them out. They didn't hang around. They didn't let a team hang around thinking they had a chance. They blew them all out. It's very, very close, and I edged Dallas in this regard. But Philadelphia gets it right back Sunday night if they beat them in Dallas. But again, this is going to be one of those games, and I hate to say this. I hate to say this about Philadelphia because I like Philadelphia a lot, and I like Jalen Hurts a lot. But if I keep saying over and over again, hey, this is a marquee game, this is a marquee game, this is a marquee game, I want to see a marquee team, right? I don't want games where the game against Kansas City, that Monday night game that they won 21-17, was more about things about the Chiefs and the lack of wide receivers than it was the brilliant play of Jalen Hurts in that game. I want more Eagles are real because the number one team we're talking about has all of that going for them right now in San Francisco. Nobody is talking about their opponent and what the opponent didn't do. Everyone is talking about what the 49ers do. And that's a true number one team. We're not talking about how the Eagles hung on and barely, like, oh, if the Eagles had done this or the Eagles had done that, or if Seattle had done this, Seattle had done that, or if the Buccaneers had done this, they would have won those games. No. The 49ers, since getting everybody healthy again, have beaten four straight teams in ways that make you go, that's the number one team. So that was pretty much the no-brainer.
I think it was the easiest no-brainer. We've been doing this for five, six years ago. Now. And this was probably the easiest number one I think we've ever had. Because that game on Sunday was a clinic. That's the best word to describe it. The one thing that kept going through my mind, the only thing that kept going through my mind is if you were to put Brock Purdy on any other team, is he as successful as he is right
now? Great question.
And that was the only thing. It's like, you know, I could see Brock Purdy, you know, leading this team to a Super Bowl, but would he be the Super Bowl MVP or would it be somebody else? Because it feels like there's always a star in the wings who steps up.
Right.
This weekend it was Debo Samuel. Before it's been Christian McCaffrey. But is Brock Purdy that guy, the guy? My only question about them.
I agree with you.
But on a team like this, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. The bottom five is coming up next, and we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All righty, let's get rolling as we continue along our top five and bottom five. We just did top five. You know what that means? We go bottom five. We go worst of the worst of the worst. All right. I took a page out of Ron Culver's book as I started out with number 28. And you know what? Despite the fact that they're in the playoffs as it stands right now, the Steelers are my 28 team. This is very, very upsetting. If you're a Steelers fan, you get what I'm about to tell you. Every year this team loses to a team they're not supposed to lose to. It happens all the time. There's always one game where you go, how in God's name did they lose to Team X, whoever it is? And a lot of times it was bad teams on the West Coast. So back when like the Oakland Raiders were terrible, Steelers would go there and lose. They would lose to all sorts of teams on the West Coast, you know. But every year is that game. This was that game. They were playing Arizona. Arizona's not a good team, but what have we said about Arizona all year long? They're not a team with good wins and losses, but they're giving teams fits in fights. It's a good way to go about your season if you're needing some talent to be infused into the team. You're looking ahead to the draft. You're looking ahead to see what you can do to kind of clean up your roster. The Steelers should have known this, but like the games before, they cannot score. Mitch Trubisky got hurt. Kenny Pickett got hurt. Mitch Trubisky's in at quarterback. That might spark something, but their inability to score is really, really perplexing. And the Cardinals led this thing the whole way. Steelers are 28 on mine because I'm punishing them because they needed to go to 8-4 and now they're 7-5.
No, I think that's a good punishment. And I don't know if the Lightning play into effect of it, but
sure.
I mean, it affected both teams.
Yeah, that nice delay. But,
yeah,
you know,
two of them.
They were just, you pause and then you go back out there and do exactly the same thing.
And like I said, it affected both teams.
Yeah.
You know, Cardinals didn't seem affected by the Lightning delays.
They trailed 24-3.
Yes, they did.
Like a one way. Like they trailed by 21 points in the fourth quarter of this game.
Yeah.
Like that's insane.
Had it been only been 28-3, Tony, it might be a different story.
My brother and I, who's a Cowboys fan, can now lament our losses to the Arizona Cardinals this season.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
What secret formula do they have over the Desiree boys?
I'm going to tell you right now, Arizona, God bless them, man. At 3-10, that's what, you know, they do fight. They do fight every week. Sometimes they don't have the horses to get to the finish line, but they will make you go, okay, all right, slow down. That was a little too close. So good for them.
Well, at 28 for me, I see you, your Steelers, and I raise you the Chargers.
I don't
care that they won this weekend. Am I supposed to be impressed by a 6-0 win?
Right.
We can't even call it a field goal fest, even though both points were, you know, they were scored off of field goals. This was a terrible, terrible game.
Yeah, it really was. Two field goals for Justin Herbert in that offense.
Chargers, you're dead to me right now. Come on.
Get back into the hunt of this.
God. I just read something where Khalil Mack leads the league with a personal best 15 sacks. Keenan Allen leads the league with 102 receptions. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What is this team doing? 6-0 against the Patriots, who I am certain you and I will be talking about in a few minutes.
We will be talking about them in a few minutes, is right.
Or we may just gloss over them. One of the two is going to happen.
29. This is where I put the Jets. They don't know what they want. They don't know what they have. You know, this is a mess. They lose to Atlanta 13-8. If you had said the Atlanta Falcons are only going to score 13 points, you would figure out some way, somehow, the Jets should be able to get two touchdowns and win this thing. If that's all you're going to get, nope, they can't. They can't. Because whether it's Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, it doesn't even matter if it was Zach Wilson, they can't win games. They've lost five in a row now. You know, it's seriously, look at Robert Saleh and go, you don't know what you want. You don't know who you are. Like, they don't know who they don't know what they want to do. Zach Wilson, bring him back. I don't care. Tim Boyle, I don't care. Trevor Siemian, I don't care. Bring back Joe Namath. I don't care. Nothing is going to help. This team is lousy, absolutely lousy. And we thought that this was an offense that if you could just get somewhat decent quarterback play, the weapons around them would produce it. But it doesn't happen. They haven't scored over 20 points since a 31-21 win against Denver on October 8th. They haven't scored over 20 points in their last seven games.
That seems like a long time ago.
That seems like forever ago.
I'm with you. I'm keeping with what I have been doing, and I'm just keeping the New York football teams here just because I still want to poke fun at the fact that the Giants are led by a guy who lives at home.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
You know.
Yeah.
But it's mainly the Jets. The Giants didn't do anything wrong this weekend. In fact, they didn't do anything this weekend.
Did not play.
You know, but Tommy DeVito did not move out of his parents' house. That we know for sure. The Jets, like I said, if you want to go back and listen to the good, the bad, the dumb, Zach Wilson gets my good of the day because either story I freaking love.
Yeah.
I do. I love the fact that if he's turning his back on the Jets, saying, no, thank you, I've been down this road too many times, I'm done. Or the fact that he does want to come back and fight for this team one final time. Either way, the end of the season, you've got to make a decision. You've got to get rid of him. You got to move on. And I like what you said. Bring back Joe Namath. Why not? At this point.
Bring back Richard Todd, for all I care.
Come on.
Neil O'Donnell still
kicking
around doing something?
He's still around, right?
Vinny Testaverde, is he still doing something?
Chad Pennington was their last great quarterback.
I like Chad Pennington, right. Mark Sanchez, get him out of the booth. Suit him up. All right, number 30 for me. This is where I put Washington.
Hey, same here.
What the hell has happened to Washington? Like, okay, hear me out on this. And I may need to look it up, like their previous records. Hasn't Washington always been kind of like an football team? Like a middle of the road, you know, 7-9, 7-10, 8-9 kind of football team over the last few seasons. What, they're 4-9. They've lost four in a row. They've lost six of their last seven. They're giving up a gazillion points a game. That's an actual, you know, number. A gazillion. Not a gazillion minus one, a gazillion. They're atrocious. They're trying to develop Sam Howell, and they're not developing Sam Howell. 4-9 after starting the season 2-0, which basically means they're 2-9 over their last 11 games. Washington is number 30 for me.
Yeah, I'm with you at number 30. This is there's no excuses anymore. Just tear it all down.
Yeah.
Just start over.
Like last season, they went 8-8-1. That's about what Washington is or has been. Now they're a bottom feeder team. Now they're terrible. Harris has bought.
Problem is, I was looking for a tweet and I can't find it. I had heard where Magic Johnson just told it as it was. You know, just said, you know, basically he just said we suck today.
We stunk and we're just building it up for the future.
Yeah. But I did come across a tweet that's like, I guess December 1st is World AIDS Day. And he had to remind us that he's been living with HIV for 13 years.
Oh, I did see that over the weekend, yeah.
All right, just off the little side subject, I'm starting to think he doesn't have it. We can get a 10 at another time. But yeah, Washington, you're number 30.
Real quick, you're right.
I can't help it, right?
It is hard for us. If you grew up in the 80s, it is hard to wrap your mind around that he's not only alive but healthy.
Yeah. Owning teams.
He
has an ownership in every single team that's in professional sports, I think, at this point.
I know he's done that. He does that cocktail every morning, but yeah, good. That's great. 31, I put Carolina. I did the same thing. Yeah, we had the same bottom five
here. I felt dirty doing it.
Yeah,
I really did because it's, Panthers, what can we say about you? You don't have a head coach.
You fired your coach.
You don't really have a quarterback. He's a rookie who hasn't been given the right structure. So it's almost it's a nothing season now. And to top it all off, you don't even own your first pick. That's the worst thing about it is that you don't even own your first pick. So I don't even know what to I don't even know what to make of this anymore.
That with the number 32 team, and that's the Patriots.
Yeah,
that's the
number
that's
32.
What I want.
It's horrific.
That's what I can do the most is the for the Patriots. This is terrible. It's very, very poor.
I'll do this. I'll say, congrats on holding the Chargers to 6 points. How about
that?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's the only saving grace I can give you guys is that you held this juggernaut of an offense that has been putrid all season long. Two field goals. Good job, Patriots.
How in the world are they going to keep this up? How in the world are they going to keep doing this? I don't know what else to say for them. This is Bill Belichick's not only worst coaching job ever, it's like he went plus exponentially. It's like they're not losing games like where they're showing up and playing really, really well. Yeah, he lost 6-0. It's the nothing on the part of it that's bothering people.
It's not that, and he's not getting blown away by teams. It's just that they look terrible.
Yeah, the last 4 games, they've lost 20-17, 10-6, 10-7, 6-0. The games are close.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so that's top five, bottom five. If you miss any part of that, you can go to podcastarena.com, subscribe to the show, leave us a 5-star review, all that good stuff on there, and you can podcast it. Take us wherever you would like to go. I mean, isn't that what a bonus that is? So again, we've been talking a little this morning about the NFL over the weekend, of course, and then college football. So I have a question. I want to expand on this college football committee thing. The one thing that is sort of the saving grace of it all is we're done with this system and we have a larger system, but I don't know if we're going to be that upset about a 12, 13, 11 debate as we are with a undefeated team not getting it. You're undefeated next year, you're getting it, right? You're getting it. And that's just the way that's going to be. If you're an undefeated Power Four conference winner, you're getting in. And there's, you may not like your seating or whatever it is, but you're getting in.
I guess the only debate would be then, too, is that if you're a Power Four, if you're Florida State this year, right, are you getting a 4 seed?
Yeah, that would be the thing. And I don't think America's losing sleep over that.
No,
right? So that's not a real debate.
It just becomes a snub.
Right, just like I said, like in the basketball tournament, and they didn't get a number. I don't care. So what? Get in the tournament and play games. You got to play everybody. Just play. And it doesn't matter where you're seated. But are we gonna have a national conversation about an Ole Miss LSU debate on who gets in or whatever?
Is that 12-13 this year?
I don't know. I haven't even checked. But I'm just throwing something out there, right? Like, are we losing sleep over that?
That's part of the problem. We don't. You and I both are like, I had to ask you. Was that 12-13? You're like, I don't know.
I don't know. And
pays
so
attention to that.
I don't think we're going to do that. But I think Florida State snub has made us go, oh my God. But here's the thing. I've said this many, many times. I want to repeat it because I think it's important in this scenario. So I've been a college football fan my whole life since I was a little kid, even growing up in an area without college football. So I grew up, and I've said this before, I grew up where there would be these conversations about playoffs. I remember the late Beano Cook would be on the network shows for college football and ABC and whatever, and he would be saying, we need a playoff. It would be the biggest thing in sports if we had a playoff. This was the 80s. This was the early 80s, okay? So the conversation about a playoff had always been around. But every single time it would be brought up, the college football powers that be would say over and over again, nope, nope, nope. We love our bowl system. The traditions of the bowls matter. We love it. That's it. Shut up. Stop talking. We're not going to discuss this anymore. And then they made you believe that this was such a taboo subject that we were just going to pound the door on that was never, ever going to open. And I've said when they finally opened it, they acted like it was their idea the whole time. They acted like, look at what we've given you, college football peasants. We've given you a playoff. It's four teams. Isn't that great? Thank you for doing that. And then we started saying, almost right away when Baylor and TCU didn't get in that first one, we said, yeah, well, actually, it would be better if you kind of expanded this a little bit. Four seems a little too not enough. And what did the powers that be at college football at the time say? Nope, 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 nope. Don't ask. Shut up. Stop talking about it. We're never going to expand. This is the way it is. Four teams is enough. We want to keep the sanctity of the regular season. We don't want to turn this into college basketball. The regular season matters. And we kept going, yeah, but you've left two teams off the table. This seems a little kind of odd. And what if you have a power five, all power five teams are good? Who gets home? And they said, never, never, never. And then what did they do a couple of years ago? They went, boom, here we got a 12-team playoff, kids. Aren't you happy? Aren't you thankful we've done this? And we keep going to them and saying over and over again, we've wanted this the whole time. We've been asking you for this for decades and decades and decades. They're doing it now with this latest bit of news that says there's an actual proposal that is going to let, now this is a pitch to the NCAA that comes from the NCAA president, Charlie Baker, who's now proposing that schools should be allowed to pay the athletes. This is something everyone was screaming about for decades and decades and decades. This is one of the biggest confusing things for the average fan. The schools are not paying players. The collectives and the businesses and the boosters are doing NIL deals. Schools do not have an NIL deal. If you are paying a kid, if you're a school and you are paying a kid, you are breaking the rules. Now, here's the thing. We know I was kind of having this conversation with my father-in-law about this because he's like, well, you know, they all do it. And I go, no, here's the deal. I know they all do it. But it's where the money is coming from. Like in the old days, when you would hear a story about a football player, like, yeah, when I make five tackles, there's $500 in my jacket. If you were to go, if you were to trace that money, where did the $500 come from in the jacket, right? The little jacket, they go, I got a little money here. Is it coming from the school's athletic budget? No, because you can't, you have to account for every penny. The school may be enticing its boosters to put the money in there. So if you trace the money goes back to the boosters. That's where it always has been. But if you tie a public university that has to account for every single nickel it spends, it's not the government that can just lose $10 billion in waste. Schools have accountants. They account for every dollar. But if a booster wants to give $500 because you had a great game, they look the other way, right? That's always been sort of the quid pro quo of college athletics. Now there's a proposal that the schools will be able to pay, create NIL deals and with its student athletes. Again, it's the same thing. The public has been saying it over and over again. We want this. So my question is this, larger question is, next year, are we going to find problems in the process that are going to let us go, again, guys, we need a better system than this? Because what happened on Saturday and Sunday, you may agree with Alabama being in. You may hate the fact that Alabama is in at Florida's state's expense. But I think we can all agree is that we saw this coming a mile away. This was bound to happen at some point. There are not two power conferences. There's not three. There's five. And there's four spots. So next year, when there's four power conferences and a group of ones outside of that, are we going to be screaming about, again, the 10th and 11th and 12th team? Because if we're not, then we're saying to them, we like you guys in the room as long as the best of the best are protected. I have no idea what went on in that room. I have no idea how they sat around and figured this out and what the metrics they put in. But when Pete Futek said that they were not going to leave an SEC team out, I agree with him. They weren't. He's right. Imagine the uproar of Florida State got in for a region of the country. We joke about it, about them seceding and creating their own league and everything. But what kind of conversation do you think we'd be having this week, Ron, if Alabama was out after beating the number one team in the country, the two-time defending national champs, and a team on a 29-game win streak?
Well, that's the story right there.
Right? That's the issue.
I mean, if we had no SEC teams in, what NFL?
Right.
You know, did the NFL even play this weekend? I mean, it would be, you know, the tree falling down in a forest. It would dominate every conversation we're having.
Who?
Until January 1st.
Okay, I worked with a friend of mine. I worked with a guy in radio who was a big personality. And he used to get in trouble a lot. And I was tagged to him a lot. So I would say to him all the time, like, listen, man, my career is not going down for this stunt. You do it on your own. And he used to say to me all the time, the worst they'll do is yell at me and I can handle that. Right. And I couldn't. I was too young. He was veteran, older guy. He understood the business. Right. He knew he had a contract, all that stuff. He would always say, the worst they'll do is yell at me and I can handle that. So I'm going to use that for this. Do you think the committee said the worst that's going to happen to me is I'm going to hear from two people? We make the decision, we hear from two people. I'm going to hear from Greg Sankey or I'm going to hear from Jim Phillips. And I'll tell you right now, I can handle Jim Phillips, but I can't handle Greg Sankey. Jim Phillips I can take, the ACC commissioner.
Yeah.
Greg Sankey I cannot take. Greg Sankey is too powerful of an individual.
And knows it.
And I wonder how many people in that committee went, I'm not ready to deal with what I do not want
all
Greg Sankey in my life on a negative basis after doing this to his conference.
Yeah.
But Jim Phillips will scream and cry and Mike Norvell will write a letter on social media. That I can handle.
And full knowing the entire time, we just got to get through this year.
Right.
Because I looked it up, right? I looked at the final rankings, the college football playoff rankings. Every team that lost two games or less would be in the top 12.
Yeah.
So it's separated. Number 12 is Oklahoma. Number 13 is LSU. LSU lost three games. So it's like, you lost three.
If we had 12 this year, it would be rather boring.
It would be really boring.
So, yeah. Well, it is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.